Blog Talk Radio.
And starting, this is a Diva of Dual Blog Talk Radio Show weekly broadcast. So we had some technical difficulties. Apologize for that. And so hopefully we have the chat room up and running now. And so hopefully everybody can get in now. Sorry about the technical issues. And we're still trying to get our callers on here, so
hey,
bear with me.
I'm here.
Oh, there we go. All right. There's Carrie, and
hey.
I think Marianne's gonna join us a little bit later, and I'm not sure, was Nicole gonna join us?
I don't know. I didn't hear from her.
Okay. Well, anyway, the chat room's up and running, so if anyone wants to get in there, just go ahead and get in there, and apologize again for the delay. Lovely blog talk issues, but all right, Jan made it in. All right, well, I was hoping Nicole would be here because I wanted to talk about the Shane stuff, so I don't know if she's going to be here or not, but we could go ahead and pimp at Bob Hapka and at Amy Hapka on Twitter. They're good friends of ours, and also the at Diva of Dual, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And at Lauren Coslow, at Kilt Trip USA, KILTTRIP USA, that's Ian Buchanan, got Teo Penglis, all kinds of good people. So so I think, is that all the pimping for right now? I get the pimping out of the way.
yeah, that sounds good.
All right. Well, Carrie, would you like to talk about the Austin? Well, I guess we could set it up first. We had an explosion at the safe house, the second safe,
mm-hmm.
The safe house. And we died, of course. We all knew that. Nobody was going to die. And so, I don't know. I didn't really enjoy all that so much, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It was kind of, I don't know, it was just, you know, Bo and Hope, Marlena and John, Carrie and Grace, stuck in the safe house, Stefano's henchman blows it up. Fortunately for them, they had a trap door down into a basement, which apparently nobody knew about, which I find
mm-hmm.
odd, but,
yeah.
I mean, don't you find that a little odd? It's the safe house, they should know every inch of that place, they should have floor plans, they should have everything. And suddenly, you know, Ray finds this, you know, trap door down into the basement. So they all live. And then, of course, they decide, once they realize everybody's alive, they realize they have to make it seem like, in order to trap Stefano, they have to make it seem like it was real and that everybody died. So, of course, they put their family through all kinds of torture for a day or two and have a somewhat of a wake at the Brady Pub. And they, you know, where everybody's mourning the loss of these six loved ones. And then shortly thereafter, well, in the meantime, the six loved ones are shipped off to another safe house, which looks oddly similar to the Kyriakos Mansion. Did everyone notice that? It was like, the staircase is the same, the windows in the back are the same, the door, front door is the same. So I think they cleared out all the furniture and put different furniture in the Kyriakos Mansion, and that's where they're holed up right now. And so let's see. So everybody's mourning, real mourning, because they think they're really dead. And then there's some pretty good scenes with, you know, everyone kind of memorializing each person and everything. Pretty good scenes, although we all know that they're not really dead, so it's kind of not, like, not really like a funeral or anything. And then, let's see, I guess, okay, do you want to take the Austin Carey Brace stuff, Carrie?
Oh, God.
Patrick?
I'm planning on doing this later, but I'm planning on writing that this past week was probably the worst week of soap writing ever in the history of the universe. Because it was that bad. Who the hell is in charge of the pacing? On Monday, we thought everybody was dead. Then about 10 minutes later, we found out they're not dead. And the episode, Roman tells everybody back home that they're dead. And then they have a wake the next day without Caroline and without about half the members of the families in Salem. Just immediately, right off the bat. They don't even bother telling the grandkids. They don't tell Ciara. Her parents are dead. They don't tell anybody. Anybody's dead. So that makes a lot of sense.
It's ridiculous.
And then you're trying to watch these people mourn, and except for Austin, you really don't feel for them because you know no one's really dead.
Yeah. Right, right.
These poor actors are, you know, trying to cry their hearts out, but, you know, we all know they're going to find out everybody's alive, what, on Tuesday or Wednesday? I mean, it's stupid.
Yeah.
I mean, it's oh, my God.
Well, Abe, they were nice enough to let Abe and Lexi know that nobody was really dead. So that, you know, since Lexi's already dying, I guess they didn't want to make her feel any worse. So let her know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but everybody else pretty much thought they were dead.
It was just stupid. Oh, except for Lexi.
What I thought was even more steep, was even worse. Was that the next day they put everybody on a beer truck and the Brady Pub, and they ship them all over there so they can have a little reunion with their loved ones. And I'm like, the last thing you want to do is create a trail of Brady's to the new safe house. You know? Sammy and all you guys are still supposed to think, to act like, you know, like, like they're all dead, and yet they live right next door to EJ. He doesn't know they're faking it. So they all, you know, Sam is getting ready for work and everything, and I'm thinking, if her whole family just died, she wouldn't be going to work the next day, you know? It just made no sense. None of it did.
Yeah, but actually, Sammy was related to all the murder victims in one way or the other. She was related to all six of them. Yeah. John's her mom, John's her stepdad, Marlena's her mom, Hope's, Bo's her uncle, Hope's her aunt by marriage, and she was married to Rafe, that's her husband, and Carrie's her sister. So if you lost six members of your family, would you really go to work the next day?
Yeah,
I mean, it was messed up. And then, I'm sorry, I can't get into the dashboard if you need me to do anything. My computer completely is bogged down. I don't know what the heck.
I'm okay. I can get in now. Thank goodness.
Yeah, I don't know what the heck Microsoft did on Friday, but I can't.
Yeah.
My computer's completely screwed up. So, awesome thing. So the poor guy, he's making a scrapbook on Monday, and don't even get me started on how asinine that was.
You didn't think that was charming and romantic?
It was charming and romantic, but...
I mean, not that it wasn't a sweet gesture, but it was slightly humiliating. I don't know.
Yeah, because, I mean, that's not really a guy thing. And the thing is, too, they did the same thing on Desperate Housewives a couple weeks ago, and it was Lynette doing that for Tom. Yes, the woman was doing that for her husband. So, and the scrapbook makes its appearance again on this coming Monday. Great.
Oh, great.
But, yeah. But, yes, it was Austin week. He was on all 5 days. And I have to say, I mean, he had me bawling. He had me crying on Tuesday.
Yeah.
I mean, oh, my God, when he was in his hotel room with Billy. And PC's like, you know, he's like, oh, I love my wife, but she died because she was with him. And I'm so angry with her. It's like, finally. And we've all been waiting months for Austin to get mad at Carrie instead of... basically covering her ass all the time and for forgiving her for being in love with Rafe. And, I mean, I'm glad they wrote it that way. If they would have wrote it in such a way that he's not wondering why she's there with Rafe, then, you know, that would have been odd.
Right.
So, right. And I just want to smack Carrie so bad. raped his son. She wasn't happy to see Austin when he showed up at the safe house. And I felt bad for Sammy because Sammy was truly mourning over Rafe, and Rafe was a total jerk to her at the safe house too. And oh, it was just terrible, you know. And then of course Sammy starts slipping out and starts bashing Carrie, which I actually liked that part. But I understand it was inappropriate at the time, because it was supposed to be a happy moment. But still, though, too, I mean, yeah, she was calling a spade, Carrie's perfectly happy being the new safe house with Rafe. You know, she's correct. So,
well, she's like acting like she's on her honeymoon or something.
Oh, yeah, and everybody's just bothering her. You know, like, Austin, get out of here. Get out, you're bothering me. It's like, oh, I mean, she was not the least bit happy to see him. It is just sad. You know, when you've been Carrie and Austin fan for 20 years and... You know, and I mean, it's almost like you don't even know who the person is. It doesn't seem like the real Carrie. So
I know.
It's very disappointing.
Oh, and then how did you enjoy the Rafe scenes when he brings her coffee in bed?
Well, thank God on Friday I was actually working on my kitchen after I recovered from my concussion. And
it wasn't a concussion. He really is a bad actor. Sorry, I didn't
know. Oh.
You thought you were seeing double? No, it was really double. Rafe 2 made an appearance. No, I'm sorry. Okay, those are all my concussion jokes. I'm glad you're better. I'm glad you're feeling better now.
Yeah,
it is really bad.
I just can't imagine cheating on my husband and having my stepmom in the same house as me and my aunt and my in-laws. And they're all cool with it.
They're all the assortment of things I've ever seen. I mean, it's so
They're probably passing them condoms underneath the door, you know what I mean? Nobody has a problem with it. Yeah, Roman's the only one who has a problem with it is the man's been cheated on. But Marlena, she's like, Marlena's like, go for it. The thing is, though, if it was Sammy and she was going after Austin.
Oh, judgmental. Oh, yeah, she would have been after
She would have been in Sammy's face, and what the hell are you doing? That's your sister's husband. But no, Carrie wants Rafe. That's fine.
Well,
so.
And she, wasn't it, somebody made a comment that cracked me up. Somebody said that they thought it was funny how they thought Allie gave an Allie look instead of a Sammy look at one point. I don't know. It was just kind of funny. It's just like, I don't know. The whole thing was weird. It was just, I don't know. And then, like, Sammy's disgust when she sees Will and Deidre, I mean, Will and Marlena all happy together and everything. She's just so jealous and everything. It's pretty funny. But, you know, you have to wonder if the actors were like, really? Really? Are we doing this? I mean, back in the day, I'm sure in the 80s, the show wasn't perfect either. But... It's like at least when they had adventures or they had these like things where they were on the run and everything, it was actually entertaining, you know, and this is just stupid. It just didn't add up on so many levels. And how much dumber can they make Shane, the brilliant ISA agent? I wanted Nicole to talk about that if she came on because, oh my gosh, Hope is coming up with ideas. Billy's coming up with ideas. He's like, great idea. Like, I never would have thought of that. Like, okay, great. I'm glad you're giving the women some brains, but really, Shane wouldn't have come up with some of this stuff? So, yeah, it's a disaster. It's just an absolute disaster.
I just don't know what the hell are they thinking. Why wouldn't you just do it like, okay, we think they're dead on Monday, and then have them hide them away without us knowing they're still alive? And then have maybe Roman break it to everybody on Tuesday, maybe wait a couple of days, maybe Thursday or Friday, have the funeral, and maybe end of Friday we see that everybody's still alive. I mean, why the hell would you do that in one episode? I mean, I've never seen such poorly. I mean, this is the complete reverse of Jim Riley, who would make one day last 2 months. Because he has done that.
Mm-hmm. And, like, what was the point? Okay, I know they just got done mourning the loss of their family members, and then the next day or that same day or whatever, they take them over to actually see them. What in the hell was the whole point? They just wanted to make sure Stefano knew that they were all dead, that everybody thought they were dead. But I mean, now everybody knows they're not, so they're still going to have to act like they're all dead. And it's like, how hard is that going to be? I kept thinking Sammy or Will was going to slip when Issei's over there trying to help her clean up the mess. I kept thinking they weren't acting real torn up, and I'm thinking, Issei's going to figure this out. I mean, he's not stupid. I don't know.
Yeah.
It just, in fact, when he said, well, you just lost your, you know, your mother just lost her mother, and, you know, your grandmother, like, be easy, go easy on her. And I was like, oh, yeah, he still doesn't know they're alive. That, you know, it was like I had to remind myself because everybody else is acting like they're alive now.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of bummed, too, because Nicole finds out that Rafe really does love Carrie. Ew, you know. And that was sad.
Yeah, and she looked really upset, too. I mean, Ariane Zucker just really killed it. She started tearing up, and she tried not to tear up, but she didn't want Ray thinking she really cared about him. And that was really great acting. She's awesome.
I know. I just, oh, and I kind of like those two together. Of all the pairings, I mean, all the possibilities, I thought Nicole made Rafe a little more interesting.
Yes, that's true. But, yeah, but since Austin's free, though, I kind of wish it would finally go to Austin and Nicole route. So we've been, well, some of us have been, were watching it for a while. Yeah, it was Austin Pack, but, yeah, Nicole was interested in Austin a few years ago. So I like to see them pursue that instead of Austin just sitting around waiting for Carrie. But I'm glad Austin probably got a clue on Friday, and he's like, Roman, you got to take me there. And Roman understood. But the thing is that Tulich is dumb. He's only there for like 5 minutes on Monday and he's gone again. Well, that's not enough to prevent your wife from cheating on you. Dropping by, giving her a scrapbook for 5 minutes and leaving. But, you know, at least he knows that Carrie needs a reminder that she's remarried.
Well, and I was also like, okay, so Carrie's like, oh, it's too soon. Yeah, because you're both still married. I mean, Austin has no clue that you know, and I'm like, they're all ripping each other's clothes off and all, and then she's like, oh, it's too soon. That's an understatement. And, you know, Rafe is always supposed to be this hero and this good guy and everything. And, I mean, he's acting like he doesn't even give a crap about Sammy. I mean, if I hate Safe, but if I were a Safe fan, I'd be furious right now because they are making Rafe seem like he doesn't give a crap about Sammy.
Right.
You know?
And the thing is, too, Rafe doesn't even know that she's sleeping with Lucas. He doesn't even know that. So.
Oh, that's right. True.
Yeah. But, yeah, no, it's just, the writing is just so horrible.
I like the scene when Will goes over to Sammy's house and EJ's there and his wife beater. He thinks that they've had sex again and he's like freaking out. That was pretty funny.
Mm-hmm.
But still, I mean, they don't act like they're a family in mourning. It's just it's just ridiculous. I don't know. Very annoying.
Yeah. Oh, I went before I forget. I wanted to pimp. We do have two interviews this week, possibly three. Monday, I'm doing a 10-minute interview with the Hayeses, Bill and Susan Seaforth Hayes, and it's probably not going to be up until 5 p.m. Eastern. They have a new book out, so keep an eye out on that. And, yeah, it's awesome. And they're really nice. They're a pretty cool interview. And Friday is another 10-minute interview with Charles Shaughnessy. So that's going to be a lot of fun, too. And we interviewed Charlie before. He is so nice. I mean, he just acts like your best friends. He's really super cool.
They have, like you said, they have a couple other surprises, too.
Yeah.
So, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
So, busy week for the diva.
Yeah, oh my gosh. I don't even know how the hell I'm going to get through it. It's going to be a tough week.
It's a good problem to have.
No, I know, it's like, yeah, like, let's not space everything out. Let's have everything happen in the same week. Holy cow. But,
I'm glad we're doing that. I mean, that should be cool. We'll just have to, wasn't there a rumor about Charles maybe coming back again or something, again or something, too? Or is that just a rumor on somewhere?
Yeah, that's just a rumor that Charlie might be coming back in the fall to introduce the character of Andrew Donovan, which we're, I already put that up a few weeks ago. They did a casting call for a character named Drew, and everybody pretty much assumed it was Andrew Donovan. But it's about the right age. I don't exactly remember. I think Andrew was born in the late 80s. I don't exactly remember. So, yeah, so we'll see, but that's the rumor. It's out there now. And the other rumor that broke this week is Blake Barris is returning today. He played McFallon. So, yeah. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, I like it. I loved him, but they made him a crazy psycho who was in prison. What? How is he coming back?
I don't know.
I wonder if it'll tie in with, wasn't he, like, weren't he and Molly, weren't he and Melanie close? Weren't they, like, in love at one point, and then he killed her father?
Yes, he was obsessed with her, and she really wasn't into him.
Oh, okay.
That's how they introduced Melanie. She had a, like, a YouTube blog, or
that's
vlog,
right.
I guess you would call it.
That's right. Premier Party Girl.
Yeah, so he started watching her her vlog, and then eventually she came to Salem. Yeah, yippee. So I'm happy to have Nick back, but I want normal Nick back and not the one who's propping Melanie, which it looks like Molly Burnett's probably leaving the show anyway. So
that's what I'm wondering.
Yeah.
Are they bringing him back to take her away, or... is he going to be the stalker guy? Is he going to be the stalker guy? Is it going to turn out that Gabby really does have a stalker guy? Or
that'd be funny.
That would be the one good twist to that whole stupid story, is if she actually did end up having a stalker and nobody believed her because she played everyone. That
mm-hmm.
would be kind of funny. I mean, not funny, but that would make it more entertaining than this. Ugh.
Oh, and we have to mention the Emmy nominations, too, this week.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead and share that.
Yeah, so we have
Matt?
Matt Ashford for Best Supporting Male. And he's against four guys from General Hospital, which I think bodes well for Matthew, because you figured they're going to split the vote. Because it's been alleged before that the entire network, and sometimes it's just the soap, they all come to a consensus and block vote for one person. But how are you going to do that with General Hospital when you have four people to choose from? I mean, if you're not the person they choose to get behind, you'd be pretty pissed off about that. So I think, and Matthew's stuff is strong. I mean, I remember watching it. At the time, saying, "Oh, that's his Emmy role right there," and everybody knew he was going to get nominated this year. And then there's Crystal Chappelle; she got lead actress nominee for Carly Manning, and it was from what I read, it was the at the rehab stuff, which I actually didn't think was very good. Actually,
that was the stuff I fast-forwarded through. Hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty
bad.
I had
no idea how it was because I fast-forwarded through almost every scene.
Yeah, the stuff I actually thought was good, but maybe people wouldn't recognize as rehab materials, when she and Jennifer were arguing at the hospital, and Carly was kind of being passive-aggressive and kind of twisting things on Jennifer.
That was being extremely
manipulative, and she was acting like an addict, and I've seen this happen myself. They guilt trick you. Make it seem like you're the problem, not them, and you're standing in their way. And that, I thought, was very true to life and good. I don't think she picked that one. From what I heard, it was the rehab stuff. And then we had the younger actresses, Molly Burnett and Shelley Hennig, who played Stephanie Johnson, which I even forgot Stephanie was on the show last
year. Shelley was nominated? I didn't know that.
Shelley got nominated, yeah. I mean, I would have picked Kate Mancey over Shelley.
Yeah.
But,
Kate
had some good
stuff happen this year, I guess, but
yeah.
What was Shelley nominated for?
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't know.
Hmm.
And I can't remember what Molly got nominated for either. And then the Chandler Massey was the younger male category. So we got 5 nominations. Dave's got a total of 15, which was the most ever, which sounds impressive, except for the fact that only 6 soaps were eligible this time around. So,
hair and makeup got it too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hair and makeup, directing, lighting, writing, pretty much everything.
Well, I did enjoy the Kate and Ian scenes this week, and of course we have to talk about those.
Yeah, go ahead.
Basically, let's see, I'm trying to think. I have to think back for a minute. First of all, Kate was pretty much MIA throughout this whole thing. They didn't write her in to be there for her son, whose wife died, supposedly.
Mm-hmm.
Or anything, you know, it's like
mm-hmm.
they just totally didn't include Kate at all. I guess they figured, well, since everyone's not really dead, let's not pull all the other actors in. Although, for Sarah's sake, I will mention that Magic made an appearance. They were at the wake. So Maggie and Victor were there. We finally got to see Maggie's ruffled shirt again and got to see them. Although, they didn't, unless I missed some of it, they didn't get a whole lot of screen time, did they? It seems like they were there, but Maggie and Victor didn't really get to say all that much, did they? I don't remember them saying much anyway.
Oh, Victor was eulogizing Bo and saying that he wished he was able to raise Bo when he babysit Ciara.
Oh,
but,
that's right.
But he loved the things about Bo that he loves are what the Bradys kind of instilled in Bo growing up. And he wanted everybody to tell, he wanted everybody to tell Caroline she did a great job.
Oh, and yeah, Caroline and Sierra weren't even in town.
So. No.
But that was a really nice, that was really nice. I'd forgotten about that. Yeah, because
mm-hmm.
I missed little bits and pieces of some of that. So, but didn't he, was he saying something about when he'd have Sierra sitting on his lap reading books or something, he would think about what he missed or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, he didn't get to raise Bo. But
along with everybody else in town, he also threatened to kill Stefano, and also he also jumped on Sammy's Blame Roman bandwagon, and Jack, one of his few lines of the week, he told Victor basically to knock it off, because he was complaining about Roman to Kayla, and Jack told her to knock it off, and it's just like, well, she just lost her brother, and you're blaming the other brother, the one she has left. So,
okay.
Yeah, so that's pretty much all Victor had,
yeah. And Jack and Jen, weren't they coming out of a movie or doing something or going somewhere when Abigail came up and told them about that Aunt Hope was, or Cousin Hope or whoever she, Hope and everybody, they were all dead. So they were on a date night. So, wasn't that the first Jack and Jen appearance since they had their Kumbaya reunion?
Yeah, it's been a while.
Yeah, it's been like a month, I think. So, so we got to see a few people. That was nice. I'm glad they didn't put Sierra and, the little kids and stuff and Caroline through all that hell. I'm glad they didn't, make them all upset. But I just think it was more than ridiculous that they, left the trail to the next safe house. It was just so stupid. Why? They should have let no one, they shouldn't have let anyone over there. Just stupid. I don't know. So now what, they've hatched a new plan to trap Stefano or something and yada, yada, yada. And they've pulled Harmon back in, pretending like they don't know that he's a weasel and, I don't know. I'm just kind of not into it too much. But the Kate and Ian scenes were nice. Basically, Ian scheduled a nice little dinner for Kate to try to woo her a little bit, since she's been mourning her relationship with Stefano. I'm glad that they're doing that. I'm glad they weren't just, oh, yeah, I'm over Stefano. I mean, she still loves him and everything. So Ian arranged to have a private dinner for her. And unfortunately for him, it was the exact same place where she had the infamous table flip when Stefano dumped her. So, of course, she shows up and she announces herself as Kate Roberts. She's on Kate. Mm-hmm. I'm Kate Roberts here for a meeting. And then Ian comes up and says, "Oh, well, it's a private meeting or something." So they sit down and have dinner, and he gives her a bracelet and puts it on her. But then she says she is too soon. She gives it back to him. And but they had, you know, they had some nice dialogue and everything. And then he basically wants her to move on and accept him, take him. And she's still, like, not quite ready to do that yet.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, he's like, it needs to happen soon kind of thing. And so I don't know what his, you know, why he's obviously up to something, you know. Mm-hmm. He's got to have some tricks up his sleeve. He must be, you know, he's being highly suspicious, let's put it that way. But I really love their chemistry together, and I'm sure he's probably going to somehow screw it all up and be, like, evil or something. But I really love him a lot, and Ian Buchanan's great to watch, and he and Lauren are terrific together. So, oh, you can also follow at Kian Fans, K-I-A-N-F-A-N-S on Twitter. That's the Kate and Ian account. And, but, you know, Lauren and Ian really have great, you know, great fun together, it seems. They tweet. It's fun watching them tweet to each other. But, so, you know, it's kind of one of those things where, I think towards the end of the dinner, doesn't she get the call about the thing, the Stefano blowing up the safe house? Didn't she get that at the end of their dinner?
Yeah, it was during the dinner.
Yeah, it seems like at the end of the dinner, she gets a phone call. He says, "Oh, sure, go ahead and take it," you know, and she takes it. And then she freaks out because she's thinking, well, if he's that mad to blow up all those guys, he's going to come after us too. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know that that would have been my first thought if I were Kate. I'm just thinking of my son, whose wife just supposedly died in the fire. But, you know, it's they're acting as if they don't even know each other right now. So,
mm-hmm.
And then, let's see, and then meanwhile, Billy's running around
callers.
Town.
We actually got some callers. Yeah, so whenever you're ready, I'll put them on.
Oh, okay, sure. Go ahead.
Okay. Erica 845. This is Jen. Hello?
Oh, hi. I was just listening.
Oh, okay, hon. I'll put you back in the room then. Unless you have,
yeah,
you have any comments?
Yeah, there's something wrong with the Blog Talk Radio. It keeps going silent.
Yeah, Blog Talk's having problems tonight. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, it's a bad night. Okay. I'll put you back on there. Why don't you go ahead? I'll screen the other caller while you talk. I'll figure out if they want to come on.
All right.
Hi, did you want to talk on the show? Or are you just listening? 941? Hello?
Okay. You know, all that, and now it's been revealed that Stefano took the money that he stole from EJ, who stole money from John, a couple billion dollars, and bought arms and was trading illegal arms behind EJ's back,
mm-hmm.
And so they decide that it's time for EJ to find out about this. Billy's informed that Stefano was actually the one to dime out, you know, EJ on John's benefit. So she meets up with EJ and says, "Oh, by the way, guess what? I know how they found out that John was innocent of the embezzlement stuff." And he's like, "Oh, how?" You know. And so basically, she tells him, "That's your father. Your father was the one." So now, of course, next week there's going to be some rather explosive scenes, I'm sure, with Stefano and EJ,
mm-hmm.
because it's yet another angle that he betrayed him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Stefano betrayed EJ, and then so we've got that going on. Then Hope and Bo honestly, I don't exactly get what they're trying to do, but I guess they're going to try to set Stefano up in phase two of the operation. And so they're running around town. They, you know, I don't know if they're intentionally trying to lead Stefano, like they want him to see that they're out, that they're alive or what, but, you know, I read the spoilers for next week or the week after. I guess it's the week coming up. And, you know, it's like they're all trying to set Stefano up and everything, and it's like, okay, you know, obviously he's not stupid. He's got goons everywhere. He's going to figure this out. I guess they're going to end up getting him, but it's just, oh, it's just so badly written. And I was a fan of some of the things the writers did, but, I mean, I loved that they brought Ian Buchanan on, and I loved that they gave Kate a triangle. I love the whole state, you know, versus Kian triangle and that, all that. I love that part, and I like the Looney Abbey stuff, but, oh, some of this other stuff has been so bad.
Yeah, I understand what's going on with the new writers and the and that, because it seems like some things are getting cut out, that some things are being kept for some reason. No one can understand why they're keeping Cafe, or, you know, why they're keeping all the Carrie and Rice scenes. But then we hear that it looks like some of the EGME scenes are getting cut.
Yeah, what was that? I saw on Twitter where people were saying that some of the EGME scenes were cut this week. How did they know, or what were they thinking was cut?
Well, some of the soap sites, I don't know. I don't think they watch them in advance, but I think they get a breakdown in advance of what's going on, and they type them up and put them out as previews.
Right.
And then we go to watch them, and it's not the same thing. So,
right. Well, that's what happened with Ian's cane, too. That was supposed to be a big reveal that he was a Demira. It had a fate phoenix on it, and then they cut that out. But so are they taping other things to replace it with, or what? I mean, this is just weird. I don't know.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. You have one of the least popular couples out there with Carrie and Rafe, and they're pretty much dominating the show, and no one really likes them. And I mean, even when Carrie and Austin are together, they're not happy because she's thinking of Rafe the entire time, so Carrie and Austin never get like 10 seconds really alone. And it just seems like, okay, why aren't you cutting this couple, you know? Yeah, or why aren't you cutting maybe a little bit more Bradison, because nobody likes them either. And it just kind of doesn't make much sense that EGME, who has the biggest fan base out there, they're seen to the ones getting cut. That doesn't make much sense.
Well, you would think that, I mean, that's stuff that people waited for a long time. You would think that they would have that on screen. So I didn't get that. When I saw that the EGME fans were saying that stuff had been cut, I was like, why would they cut that stuff?
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, the thing of it is, it's good if they decide to cut their losses if the writing wasn't working, and obviously some of it isn't. And, and I really feel the writers were only partially to blame for that, because I think it was a push and pull between the network and the writers, but who knows who was lobbying for what. I mean, it could have been worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean,
right.
It could have been that NBC saved it. You know what I mean? You know, it could have been even worse. I mean, but I give them credit, like I said, for the storylines I mentioned earlier. There have been some things I've really been happy with, but it looks like the new writers are coming in and undoing all that anyway. I mean, we're not seeing the new material yet, but I have a feeling, like you said, we know for a fact some things have been cut out, and so you just wonder, like, And that may be part of why the pacing's off, too. We don't know. I mean, but, it's just frustrating.
Yeah, I don't know what the safe house, I don't know if they thought it was such a bad idea that they condensed practically the entire thing into one episode. But even if it was a bad idea, I could see maybe, why don't you just stretch it out for the week, you know?
Yeah.
I mean,
at least have some build up to all of it.
I don't think it was
just,
because
really they were there on like the Thursday or Friday, the day, week before, and then by Monday it blew up and it was, you know. Well, and the other thing is, remember how, I guess, the network must have shot down the story that ended up being, it was good at the beginning, but then it got kind of stupid, the whole gambling internet thing.
Oh, geez.
And remember how all of a sudden they did a compilation episode that basically went back and revisited the whole storyline in a nutshell and then wrapped it all up within like a day or two? Remember that a while back, maybe 2-3 months ago? Mm-hmm. It was kind of like, and then just like that, that story's over again, over with. I kind of feel like that's what's happening now a little bit with, you're right, maybe they had more scenes. But then again, you know, it would have been good if they had stretched it out just to make it more dramatic. But then if they were just saying the same things over and over again, I guess they figured they could cut some of it. I don't know. But I don't know. It's a mess. It's a real mess. But, you know, and it doesn't help that Kate hasn't been on as much. I'm not getting my Kate fix right now because, you know, my Kate and Ian fix. But let's see. I'm trying to think what else even happened. I think it's cute. Lexi, you want to talk, because I know you, how much you love Renee Jones, you want to talk a little bit about Lexi's story with her tumor and everything?
I missed some of Lexi's stuff today, especially Friday. I missed Friday almost entirely. But from what I read, she had a bucket list, and one was going to Paris. But I believe that she doesn't get medical clearance to do that, though. So that's basically all I saw. Yeah, so that was really cute. There was a cute scene. I think it was this week. They were at the square with Cameron and Celeste, and Beverly Todd made up a cute joke about, they were talking about the movie Bucket List and how she actually played the wife in the Bucket List.
I love that, because now the wife looks so familiar or something. That was cute. That was really cute.
We
saw some of her personality, which is nice, because she's had a hard time adjusting. I mean, she's a seasoned actress, but I think she's kind of had a hard time coming in and, like, wham, suddenly being this legend character, taking over, you know. I think it's been kind of hard for her. Maybe it's the pace of the show, or maybe it's just trying to come in and do this character and not have any time to prepare or anything. I don't know, but it hasn't been going so well. But that was a cute scene. I have to admit, I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, she was only had, what, 2 or 3 days to learn her lines when she first got on. And Renee Jones did an interview this week with Sober Digest. Her last air day is June 20th. And she was so sweet. I mean, she's just sweet in general. I'm very thankful that was able to do a 10-minute interview with her, I think, back in January. Yeah. She's one of my favorites, and she said that with Lexi getting killed off, she was afraid that the other actress would be fired because of her. And it's the first time I ever heard an actor ever say that. She was afraid Troll Ransom, who played Theo, she was afraid that they were going to have Lexi leave Abe and she would take Theo with her, and then Troll would be fired. And I've never heard anybody say that. And so I thought that was
really
nice. She was
really concerned. Aww.
Yeah, and she said she hopes James Reynolds gets a new love interest. And I thought that was really nice. And she said nice things about Tanya Boyd. She said that Tanya's so stylish. And they did have, like, a mother-daughter relationship, even though they're only a few years apart in age. And she talked about Joe Mascolo and how much he taught her. But I guess in the very beginning, 20 years ago, they still had the cue cards, and she was still reading off of cue cards. And he said, "You're not listening to me when you're reading the cards." You know, they look at the cards while the other person's speaking. And she's like, "Oh," and he's like, "Didn't you learn your lines?" And she said he wasn't being harsh. He was just really giving her good advice. And ever since then, she didn't use the cue cards anymore. And they'd gotten rid of the cue cards. It was a while ago. I think the funny thing is, I think they actually did it to not pay someone to use the cue cards, not to improve the acting. It was so they didn't have to pay another salary. Because if they had me doing the cue cards,
I
everybody
forgot
wouldn't be able
that
to...
they had cue cards, because somebody accused Lisa Rinna of using them the other day.
Oh, I didn't see that. But actually, the only actor I ever noticed looked like he was using the cue cards was Frank Parker. It played Sean Senior a few years ago.
I remember that because previews used to make fun of that. I mean, bless his heart, love him to death.
Yeah.
I remember that. She used to say, previews used to joke about that.
Yeah, it was pretty obvious. He for sure was using cue cards. But so Renee credits Joe for teaching her how to act and to not do the cue card things anymore. And it makes sense, too, because you can see when someone's not listening to the other person, and, you know, I like the eye contact when they're talking. That's what you do in real life, you know, not looking around when you're talking to somebody or they're talking to you. So, yeah, so that's in the latest Sober Digest. Somebody wants to read that.
Oh, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's going
to
be fun.
See, I remember, I'm old enough to actually remember when Renee Jones was on the cover of, like, I think it was 17, and I think I got that copy and thought she was, you know, even then, I mean, that's somebody that even then, I was a teenager, but even then, I still actually remember it was, like, almost iconic in a way because she was one of the first African-American. Like, she and Whitney Houston were two of the first African-American girls to be on covers like that, which seems crazy now because it's no big deal now. But it's like you forget that that's not what we as young people, especially people my age, were seeing back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually I still have a vivid memory of the picture of her on the cover. And I'm probably a dork. I was probably a dork enough to save it for a while because eventually she went on Days, and I think I remember going, "Is that the girl from 17 magazine?" Because she also did, you know, some of the cover, some of the material inside the magazine where they're, you know, showing outfits, do's and don'ts, and those kind of features.
Oh wow!
She would do. She would be in some of the pictures. So I was very familiar with her face when she came on Days. And I don't know if I realized that she'd become a doctor because I missed several years of Days and then I came back to it. So I remembered her as a cop, but I didn't remember I don't know if I knew her as a doctor back in the day. I don't remember when she made that transition.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway.
Marianne's on the line. I'm going to tell one more story before I snag her. Darcy Angelo on Sober Digest, she said her favorite storyline was finding out stuff known and left for her parents. So,
I bet.
If you watch back
don't
then.
Don't
you bring her? I'll get on in a second. That was a huge storyline. Like now, people's portraying changes all the time and no one cares. It's kind of, you know, blase now.
Yeah.
But Beau finding out he was Victor's son and Lexi finding out Celeste and Stefano were her parents, those were huge storylines back then. So, yeah, that's what she said was her favorite. But I'm going to bring on Marianne. My computer cooperates. There she is. Hey, Marianne.
Oh, hi.
Hey.
How's everyone?
Hello.
Finally. I'm beat. It's a long day. I just walked in the door at 10:30.
Oh, Ian was looking for you on Twitter.
What's that?
Ian was looking for you on Twitter.
I know. I just tweeted. Poor Ian.
Aww.
Poor man.
I missed the whole party tonight because I was dealing with the blog talk problems.
Yeah,
see, trying
the
to
whole
get on.
Tweet orgy again, man. He can't stay away, can he?
I love it. I'm missing
it. Dale better watch out, I'll tell you. Yeah. He came to the party a little bit the other night. So what you guys talk about? I just really didn't hear.
What'd you think of the safe house? Yeah, what'd you think of the safe house?
Safe house. Oh, Victor Kiriakis's mansion.
Yeah.
That's Victor's house.
Did
you see me? I said, hey, Stefano, they're hiding out at Victor's house.
Yeah, that was funny.
I tweeted to Stefano DeMera. I said, Stefano, I want to tell you they're hiding out at Victor's house. I said, please give Victor back his house and be done with this storyline. Victor needs his house back. I mean, how stupid. I mean, come on. It comes right in. It goes up the steps. All they did was decorate it different. It's the whole mansion layout. I mean, anybody could figure that one out. stupid. I think it's stupid. Yeah. Is Carrie and Rafe in Victor and Maggie's bedroom?
She's all over the place on that one.
Yeah, I don't know. So, what were you guys saying about, do you like the storyline?
Oh, God, no, it's just stupid.
No. Okay. All right. Waiting for it to be over.
Yeah, it's just the pacing's so bad.
So,
anything stand out to you, Marianne? Anything stand out to you this week? Go to that.
This week? EJ and his wife, Peter. That stood out.
You would notice that.
Oh, and Sammy and her constant blaming everybody for everything. Blaming her dad, blaming her dad, same old Sammy. I love Will telling Sammy off, just perfect. You know, Chandler Massey. He did a good job. Yeah, he did a good job. Oh, I know what I said. I'm thinking this, you know, everybody got reunited with their family. So why wasn't Doug allowed to see his daughter? And why wasn't Kayla allowed to see her brother? I didn't get that.
I guess there's only so much room for everybody. I don't know.
They could have had two vans or two modes of transportation to at least take everybody to see their family members. And Victor didn't get to see his son. Victor and Maggie, you know, Victor didn't get to go, Kayla and Doug. I mean, that's, you know, your daughter and your son. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But Nicole was there. Why was Nicole there? That didn't make sense.
Because of Ray. It's her baby daddy.
It's her baby
daddy.
I don't know.
Remember?
It's bad, poor writing is all I can say. I just think it's sloppy. I thought it was
awful.
It's sloppy writing. Just bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, God. You wouldn't know what Bob Hapka has to say? Holy cow.
Hi.
He says, say hi to everyone in Hoochville and tell them that I said EJ's a pussy.
Oh, I could say something to that, but it's a clean joke.
What else happened this week? It just seemed like everything was safe house. You know? Oh, you know what? I had a theory, but I think they debunked it already. I thought maybe Ian was setting up Stefano to try to get everybody to kill him. Anybody else think that was going on? It didn't look like that stupid double agent was just dumb and set up a bomb out of spite, you know what I mean?
Could be,
It was just a misunderstanding. But I thought Ian was setting him up, so he was trying to, why kill Stefano yourself if you can get somebody else to do it?
Right.
You know?
I hadn't even thought about that.
I know. I didn't even think of that either. Good idea, though. Better than what they're coming. I mean, I don't know. So I guess they're taking Stefano, trying to find a way to kill Stefano, according to John Black.
Mm-hmm.
Stefano to die. So.
Yeah, I can see more.
I'm trying to think
why
what else went on other than that.
Oh, you know, we talked about the Kate and Ian scenes. I think we only got one day at Kate and Ian this week after all those Kate days and everything, which was kind of disappointing because we love Kate.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how they seem to be cutting scenes out of Ijami and all that for some reason. We did establish that Lumi slept together, but we didn't get an actual scene. Was that this week? I'm trying to remember. Was that this week where Kate walks in and sees them and realizes that they had sex? I'm trying to think if that was this week or last week.
Well, Will walked in?
Oh, it must have been the week before. No, I'm talking about Lumi. I guess, was that the week before?
Lumi.
Yeah, Lumi. When they were getting dressed and Kate walks in.
Oh, okay.
I guess that must have been
maybe
that was the prior week. I was
Well, Will walked in and thought Ijami was having sex.
Yeah, right.
That's what EJ had
exactly.
to say. See, I still have EJ and the wife beater on my mind.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was nice.
He just needed to take it off, really.
Yeah.
Oh, I wanted to say our friend Nicole, her birthday is tomorrow.
Tomorrow?
On Mother's Day, poor girl gets screwed.
Nicole 78, is that her Twitter name?
Yep.
N-I-C-H-O-L-L-E.
Yes.
78.
Yep. Tomorrow is her birthday. And actually right now she sent me a DM. She's in New York City waiting in line for Godspell. So she's taking in the show this weekend.
Oh, she's in New York? Oh, how cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's pretty cool.
Very cool.
Yep. Sarah had a message for me. I asked me to check that. She couldn't call in. That's why she did not call in tonight about magic.
Ah.
Oh. Yeah, she said it was great to finally see magic and Maggie and Victor tonight. Oh, crap, my DM disappeared. That's bizarre. I mean, it's been over a month with them not being on screen. And she wants them to bring back Tony DeMera and Faye Walker. So that was the message from Sarah today.
Oh, very good. Yes, I'd like to have both of them back.
Yeah. I'm just drawing a blank on what else happened this week.
I know. It was Abe and Lexi. I'm just thinking probably from the last. I just watched Friday's show.
I really can't think of anything else. I'm totally drawing a blank.
Yeah, I don't know. And there were the other person in the. I know Jennifer was just listening. Was the other person listening too? But they're just on hold listening, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the room. Yeah, I can't think of much else either, to be honest. I mean, we already bashed the safe house thing, and I'm trying to think if we missed. I mean, it was a little. Somebody made the comment that it was kind of creepy that Shane and Kayla hugged. Obviously they were. I think it might have been Nicole because the Shane and Kim fans. They want Kim to be there, darn it.
Yeah, they haven't even mentioned Kim.
I know, it's weird, huh?
Yeah, they didn't mention her at all.
Yeah, and then there was Kayla and Shane hugging and everything. That was...
Yeah.
Stay away.
Yeah.
Stay away.
A little awkward. I mean, that's natural. I mean, they are brother and sister-in-law, but still it's kind of awkward. Yeah, we talked about the dumbing down of poor Shane. Like, even Billy is coming up with better ideas than he is these days, so...
Mm-hmm.
That was sad. In the whole, of course, the ISA should have known the floor plans of the damn safe house and should have known there was a basement and everything. It was just stupid. The whole thing was stupid. And Carrie said that she made the comment that maybe they diced and spliced the safe house stuff down to, like, one day or whatever, 1 or 2 days, because it didn't last very long. And, with them editing a lot of stuff out these days, with the change in writers, we were wondering if maybe, she was wondering if maybe they'd done that, but I don't know. It's just a rush. The thing of it is, it's good that the Days is trying to cut their losses, and if they realize this is a sinking ship, try to save it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm proud of NBC for stepping in if that was the case, and obviously it must have been based on what we're seeing now. But at the same time, it's like we can't afford to keep going through these rotations every 6 months where we know then that the next 3 months are going to be garbage and everything's going to be rewritten. I mean, the show won't last that way. But I do get the sense that NBC is behind the show and supportive. I mean, they've been having these events lately, like the Paley Center the other night, the week before they had, or a couple weeks before they had Outfest. And they seem to be really trying to support the show more, and I've seen more of the primetime commercials and stuff like that, for Days. And so let's just hope that that bodes well for them fighting for Days to survive and thrive, and let's hope that the writing turns around. I did read that Tomlin changed some breakdown writers and brought back Fran Myers, who's his story editor. And see, I don't think we had an official story editor. At least she wasn't labeled that way in the credits. Now, they did lose a few people. They did lose a few breakdown writers and what they...
Hey, is this Angela? Hello? Angela, hello?
Yeah. definitely some things shifting around in the writing crew.
I saw something from something was posted that the breakdown writers, there's new writers. They got rid of two writers.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, got rid of. I don't remember the names, but they moved one of the. They moved one of the breakdown writers to a script writer, and they got rid of a couple of the breakdown writers. They brought in Fran Meyer to be the story editor, and I mean, which is good because she's probably as close to the continuity person as there is. You know, I would imagine that she's probably would be considered continuity, possibly. I don't know. And we certainly need that, and apparently Tomlin believes in her skills and her talent, and she's been with the show four different times, I think they said. So she's familiar with the characters and everything, the history and all that, so that's good. And I'm trying to think, they didn't mention, I don't think they specifically mentioned getting rid of any script writers, but we're a little overloaded on script writers right now, and some of them can definitely go, just not the Coolitons.
Yeah,
but because they're awesome. But so definitely some things shifting around in the writing department. Let's see.
I think Angela's on the line.
Because I'm out of things at this point. I'm good to go.
Angela,
what, Carrie? Oh,
is Angela on?
Hello? Oh, hi.
Angela?
How are y'all doing? Hi.
There she is.
I was just listening because I didn't I don't have an internet connection tonight, so I was just listening to the show. So I don't have a whole lot to contribute. I was interested in what Anna was saying though about the writers. That was interesting. Where did all that information come from?
It was on about, where did I read that? So one of the soap mag, it was on Twitter, and it was a link to a soap opera, to a magazine.
Oh, okay.
I can't remember which one now, but.
It's interesting. I was glad to hear the information. That's
good.
Let
me see if I might have favorited it.
Not a big deal.
Yeah, it was definitely sounded like they knew what they were talking about. How different it was that did it. It sounded like, I guess it was like the first interview with the new writers, yada yada, you know. So yeah, I figured you'd probably be interested in that. You'd probably know the players better than I do. I do remember seeing Fran Myers in the credits before when Thelma was there before. So she was all by herself. She appears like was appearing in the credits between the head writers and the breakdown writers.
Mm-hmm. Well, that sounds good. You're right. She's a long-timer, so that's good.
Well, and then they didn't mention Lorraine Broderick in that article, though, now that I think about it, but she's supposed to be breakdown, too. So, I mean, they didn't mention every single person in the staff, you know, but they just kind of mentioned some of the changes. But now that I think about it, it's interesting that they didn't actually mention Broderick in that conversation, but at least the part that I saw, maybe it was an excerpt, I'm not sure.
Yeah, I feel sure that she's going to be an important part of that.
What did you think of the Safe House stuff this week, Angela?
I guess she laughed.
Honestly, I did not see all this week. It's been a very hectic week for me. Honestly, to tell you the honest truth, I watched one or two episodes, and when they would go to the safe house, I was really tired. There was a lot going on. I actually fell asleep, so I missed the explosion. Everything.
You didn't miss
it, not at all.
You missed much.
So the only thing I saw, and y'all, and again, I apologize, I'm joining late, and y'all may have already discussed this, so forgive me. Just tell me if you've already covered it. But I was just really shocked about Carrie and Rafe over there kissing and carrying on and all this kind of stuff. And I mean, there's Marlena and John in the room, and I just thought that was just bizarre. You know, I just don't know. You know, they're still married and to other people, and I know they're in the safe house. Well, they were in the safe house under peril, which I'm sure they're fine now. And then whatever the second safe area, I guess they've moved them over there now. But anyway, that just didn't make sense to me. But again, there's a lot that doesn't make sense to me right now.
Yeah.
I didn't see Friday. I heard a little bit. A friend of mine had called me and filled me in a little bit on it. But how did EJ wind up at Sammy's apartment on Friday?
They really show that.
The kids were having a food fight.
That's how they explained it. He just happened to be. Yeah, that's how they explained it. But they didn't show the back. They didn't show the food fight, right? No.
No, that would have been fine.
No.
That would actually would have been.
No, I mean, Will just opened the door. I mean, and he was there, and then they explained that that's why he was there.
Oh, okay.
He was getting the kids ready for school. It was, I guess, it was supposed to be the morning. He was helping them, and they had a food fight or something, and that's why. I think she was in a robe or something, or I don't know what she was in.
Mm-hmm.
And he had his shirt off and his jacket off, and he was just in the wife beater.
Well, like I said, I've really.
And she just said, told Will we didn't have sex. That's what she said. We didn't have sex. Why not?
Had a
Sammy?
Conversation.
Yeah. You fool.
Yeah. Will was like, "You're gonna pass that up? What?"
Yeah. Really. Come on. Will, say some for me now.
Oh my gosh. Well, did y'all talk about, was there any news out of the Paley Center event on the 9th? Was there any information that came out from that?
I saw some of the tweets and different things, but I didn't hear anything different.
Did you, Anna, any news?
I mean, they can't give away too much plot-wise or anything.
Yeah.
You know, they have took a lot
other
of
than
pictures.
What I was reading.
They,
on
you know,
Twitter.
They shared different. You know, people asked questions, and so they answered some of their questions about you know different things about their characters or whatever, and that was fun. And I mean, I followed along. I tweeted along with some of it and everything. And some cute pictures came out of it and stuff, but. It was really fun. It was nice. And it was nice because there again, NBC was there. They were supportive of the show. And those are the positives that I'm seeing. And, you know, Angela, you may have missed this part, but I was saying earlier that, you know, while I did like some of the things that Marlene and Daryl were doing, I really did, and I thought a few things were really good, I can see why NBC brought it to a screeching halt because, like, mm-hmm. some of the stuff, like the Alamania stuff and this stuff that's happening right now mm-hmm. is really a train wreck. And, I mean, that may not have been all their fault. It may have been the push and pull between the network. And it's very obvious with certain stories, like, you know, the Ian thing, you know, it's like Ian's great. You know, love the character, love the actor. But it's like you could tell there's a lot of choppiness in the story between Madison and Kate and everything. I don't know. It's just frustrating to try to follow it. So maybe that's one of the reasons why they needed to make the writing change and everything. And, I don't know. I mean, they did manage to do the Will story well, very well. So I don't know. But it seems like NBC is definitely behind the show. And so we're going to take that as a positive and hope that they make good choices behind the scenes. We're going to hope that this writing change is going to bring about some positive things. And, I mean, nothing's going to be a panacea, but hopefully they can put the right mixture of things together that will work well for the show. And, you know, I can't imagine, as a person who likes Lumi, Anna, Jammy and everything, I was disappointed that Lumi didn't get more of a love scene and more action on mm-hmm. screen, at least, you know, some. And I also am disappointed for the Jammies because it sounds like they cut out some of their scenes this week. And that's just, I mean, why waste that kind of material? I mean, you know, I enjoy both pairings, mm-hmm. so I'm fine with both of them. But it's like, why not give the fans that? More, I'd rather watch that than Carrie and Rafe in bed, or giving, you know, him bringing her coffee at the safe house, and, you know, her acting like they're on their honeymoon and that nothing in the world is wrong, and then, you know, oh yeah, by the way, you're both still married. Hello, you know. So.
Yeah. Oh, and a great job by Patrick Muldoon too, with Austin.
Yes.
Oh. I mean, he's just so in love with Carrie. I mean, he's, you know, just, you can feel his pain. He's, like, making me cry on there and making, you know, feel bad for Austin.
He really
did a great job. Yeah. I thought so.
Yeah, I think Renee Jones has done an incredible job, too. That's so sad with Lexi.
Oh, yeah.
But it is, I'm positive about, I'm as positive, I guess, as anybody could be about the writing situation. And, I agree with what Anna's saying, is that we need to just hope for the best. And I agree, Marlene and Daryl did some great stuff, and, you know, and I definitely think their heart was in the right place. In an ideal world, maybe they could have kept them on as part of the writing team, you know, and versus just, you know, completely just cutting them loose. I'm certainly in favor of them cutting some of those other script writers and some of those breakdown people. Good Lord, some of the stuff was really bad. So I think we'll just have to wait and see. There are all kinds of rumors out there. We'll just have to kind of wait and see, and just hope for the best. And I hope that it sounded it was interesting. I know here's something I thought was interesting, is that the did y'all talk about the Emmy nominations?
Mm-hmm.
You did. Okay. So that's all that was interesting. Selection of. So they at least think they did get some nominations, so that was good. So I guess we'll just have to kind of see. I don't know. Like I said, I'm not caught up on the show at all this week, so I don't know. Like I said, I saw, you know, just bits and pieces of things. I'm really not very helpful, I'm afraid, tonight. But it's been interesting listening to you guys.
Oh, well, we're glad you called in.
Well, is there anything we've still left unturned?
No.
It was just such a bad week. It was so bad.
Yeah.
Hope it gets better.
Yeah, it was so bad. Block Talk Radio dropped my call and I had to dial back in. So, well, do you guys want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I think we're good.
Okay, remind everybody, Monday we'll have the interview, 10-minute interview with the Hayes, and it should be up about 5 p.m. Eastern on Monday. Friday, there's a 10-minute interview with Charles Shaughnessy, and I don't remember what time that one is, though. Because they're on the West Coast, and sometimes I forget, but the time zone changes, so that'll be up on Friday sometime. I try to get it up as soon as I get it recorded. So, and happy birthday, Nicole, and happy Mother's Day to everybody.
Happy birthday, Nicole.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers.
Yeah.
Hope you guys have a lovely day tomorrow. Anybody who's mom.
And the grandmothers and the aunts and the nurses, the teachers, any woman who influences children in some way. So, everybody does.
Mm-hmm.
That's sweet.
That's true. Alrighty. All right. Well, I guess until next time, girls.
Y'all take care.
Thanks.
Take care.
Better
bye-bye.
Next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, bye.